It's looking at you all. It's good as we worship to recognize the one to whom we bow our knee, and that's Jesus, Jesus the King, Jesus the Lord. This morning we declared his position in all things, eternal, from beginning of time to the end of time. And this morning I think I want to share on something. It's kind of in and out. If I fade out in the middle, it could be the Zoom meeting, or it could be I've just forgotten or don't know what to say. I think this is going to be necessary, and those that are visiting us and guests, and the Lord can always speak to you for your own circumstances and situation. A lot of what I'm going to say this morning is about our church here, and our congregation, and you people particularly. What God's showing us and what we believe is something that's going to be important this year. I'd like to start with a bit of a story. So let's go back, way, way back in time to when I was a young lad. Way back. Yeah, Noah and I were in the British Navy. The other joke is we didn't have ID cards because we knew each other. But as many of you know that in one of my previous lives, I spent a dozen or so years in the British Navy. And I joined at 16, which was pretty young, but I did some more schooling with the Navy and so on. But, you know, when you join the military, you have to have the haircut and you get given free clothes. And that seemed like a good scheme. And they all look the same, but you get given your uniform. And you go to the uniform store, and the supply guy is there handing out uniforms. They give you, you know, shirts and suits and hats and gloves and whatever else you need, boots, shoes. And you put them on. And I think there's only two sizes in the military, you know, medium and large, or large and extra large. I'm not sure what they are. But I got given my uniform, and I put it on, and it's kind of the sack of potatoes lot, and then it's kind of hanging off you, and you say, you know, excuse me, sir, and they say, never mind, lad, you grow into it. Well, I think I'm still growing into it, but we need to grow as we go along, and this morning I want to talk about growing, and you know, the title of the message this morning is really simple. It's grow. And perhaps we could say, if you don't grow, then you're dead. And I've put that condemnation on many a plant in the house. It stopped growing. Maybe I was too kind and overwatered it. Maybe I was too unkind and didn't water it. But you know, if you're not growing, there's no life. And I believe the word grow is a word for West Ottawa Community Church for this year. And you might have heard Ken mention it a couple of weeks back. For the last few years, and it started because we came across something and it was part of a message, and it caught on. But for the last few years, we've encouraged people to spend time before the Lord and ask the Lord, what is a word that he wants us to have for us throughout the year? A word that we can kind of live by, a word that he's summing up some of the things he wants to do in our lives throughout the year. And like most things, there's a whole website that will teach you all about it and stuff like that. But essentially, many of us have done that and wait on the Lord. And the Lord has given some amazing words. And he said, this year, I want to encourage you. This year, I want to, you know, move you into mercy. I want to give you a teaching. I want to, whatever the words are, I can't think of them now, of course. And each one is taken that on and brought that before the Lord. And it's been really interesting to look back on the year and see what this is, how the Lord has done that. It was the Spirit speaking to me. So as well as individually, we've also had some idea of thinking, well, what's the Lord saying to us corporately? What would be a word for West Ottawa? And throughout the years, and it's fairly loose. You know, we're not going to be held by it. Can't do that. Doesn't fit in the word or anything like that. You know, it's a loose indication of what the Spirit's saying to us for the year, and in one word, and that's kind of what sums it up. But there's lots of ways looking around. 2 or 3 years ago, the word that we took on, and there's a whole series of talks on the website that we went through on gifts. The Lord was showing us that we have gifts and we need to bring them into the kingdom and bring them into our life. Last year, a lot of it was, well, the word was hope. You know, we got to the point beginning last year, we just needed hope. And we discovered hope is in the Lord. And this year, there's a sense, and there's been a bit of confirmation, that the word is grow. And usually, the word and a supporting scripture gets on the front page of the website, and we'll use that loosely throughout the year. Some indication what the Lord's doing. And this year, I really sense the Lord wants us to grow. And that can mean many things, of course, individually and corporately. The key verse that is on the website and I want to use this morning is in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. This is from the Passion Translation, so it may seem a little different. But continue to grow and increase in God's grace and intimacy with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May he receive all the glory, both now and until the day eternity begins. Amen. That for me is just a fantastic summary of growing that helps us understand the scriptural principle and what Jesus and Father is saying to us. As a church, we need to continue to grow. So it's not a new start. We are growing. You've grown. You're at certain levels. We'll touch on that a little bit, perhaps, as we go through. You know, I'm not saying, oh, everybody's immature. You need to grow. We're not saying that. What we're saying is let's continue to grow. You know, you're never there. You're never there till you're there. And in this case, you're there when you're dead and in eternity with the Lord. But it's growing as an increase in God's grace and intimacy. I love those two words. You know, everything is about God's grace. And we talk about grace and mercy. You've probably heard it. Have you heard the one? You know, what's the difference between grace and mercy? You know, mercy is not receiving what we should receive, and grace is receiving what we should not receive. You know, God's grace is sufficient in all things. God has poured his grace upon us. But it's also about intimacy. This isn't a remote God. It's an intimate God. And someone has said, intimacy means into me see. Now that kind of, wow, that's a little close. That's a little intimate. Intimacy. God wants that. He wants us to increase in intimacy with him in our relationship. With our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Jesus can save you and not be your Lord. We need both. We need to recognize his Lordship, and we need to know him as our Savior. And all that's happening, as we see there, that he may receive all the glory. You know, my heart is so much about, let's acknowledge Jesus as the Lord. Let's lift him up. And this morning's songs were about that, that recognizing Jesus, what he'd done, and giving him the glory, both now and forever. Amen. So there's already a lot of growing going on here in the church corporately and as us as individuals. Growing grace. Grow in intimacy, grow in spirit, and grow in giving. Kind of four things that just came to me as I was thinking about this. So depending on where you are, and sometimes you know, wonder how much you can grow. Have I finished growing? No, I'm still growing into my uniform. So we're still growing into the things of God. We're still growing. So the Lord said when he gave us our new lives, he said, never mind, lad, you'll grow into it. So let's keep growing until we perfectly fit what God has given us. And I want to increase in my intimacy and my faith. And depending where you are, you might be a young person. And a lot of our really young ones have just gone out. They're included in this. They need to, and the younger ones, maybe you're young in the Lord. You've just recently found salvation. You found the Father as a new relationship. But you need to commit now to be stretched and to grow in the kingdom work. And find ways where you can be engaged in what's going on. If perhaps you're an older person, and or you've been in the church for many, many years, it's a temptation to look in that rearview mirror and wishing you'd taken a different route, wondering, why did I do that? What happened to me? Don't do that. Take your eyes off the rearview mirror. Look forward. You're still on a journey. You're still going forward, and you can grow from where you're at. The Lord has reasons why you go through the paths that you've been through. Nothing is wasted in his kingdom. But don't look in the rearview mirror. Let's look forward and continue to grow. And perhaps if you're a non-believer, I don't know everybody here, maybe you're thinking, well, who is this Jesus we're singing about? What does he do? What did he do for these people? Well, today is perhaps the day to get started on that journey. And today is the day you come to Jesus and you recognize him as your Savior and your Lord. And that will be a great day of joy in heaven. So let's look at four aspects very briefly. God gives growth. There is an expectation of individual growth. There's corporate growth as a church. And we grow in the gifts that you are given. So first off, the most important thing when we talk about growing, we're talking about improving, we're talking about getting better, whatever you want to put around that word grow. The most important thing to remember is that God makes things grow. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 to 7, tell us, what, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, this is Paul, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. So he obviously believed that. I mean, he said it twice in three verses. Not that he wrote verses, but in his letter, within one paragraph, he said that twice. God makes things grow. Let's not generate growth or try to generate, because you won't. Let's try not to generate growth in ourselves. There's a lot of self-help books and, I was going to say tapes, I guess a podcast these days, and material around. And a lot of people depend on self-help to grow. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that particularly. There's a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of good methods that make us better people, better in our careers, better in our families, better in our life. And that's okay, as long as we don't recognize or think that my self-help will make me grow into what God wants me to be. God makes me grow. I facilitate it through the methods and approaches I take. But let's not think it's my doing. If it is my doing, then it's dead on the vine. Only God can give life. And Holy Spirit, don't replace the work of the Holy Spirit with self-help. The second one was, there is an expectation that growth is part of our life. And we can see that in the scriptures. We'll look at a few. Our life in Jesus has to increase. There is an expectation in scripture. We grow to be more like Jesus. That's what he's called us to. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. That's pretty direct and definite. Usually we apply it to new believers that have just found salvation, have found the Lord. They don't even know where to go in the Bible to read it. They don't know how to pray. They don't know other things that are key in the kingdom. And we say, well, you know, crave the spiritual milk, crave it and learn it. But that's true throughout. You know, when you get to 15, you don't stop drinking milk. You normally triple it at that age, I think. But you know, we keep going. We add to it meat, and we add to it some extra dishes that really empower us and strengthen us. But let's continue to crave the pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Continue to grow. The Bible expects us to do that. Colossians chapter 1. And verses 9 to 11. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. I love it when the apostles and Paul, Peter, James, when they write those things to other churches, I have not stopped praying for you. That's such an encouraging thought. Yeah, somebody's praying for you. Somebody's praying for us as a church. And if they wrote us a letter, they would say, I have not stopped praying for you. And when they pray, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. What a prayer. You hope someone's praying that for you. But in that prayer, that we might live worthy of the Lord and that we might please him, we can please Father God in our lives by bearing fruit in every good work and by growing in the knowledge. The Bible expects us to grow in the knowledge of God. And there's different ways of doing that. One of the best ways is by reading the Bible and spending time with him, being intimate, intimacy with the Lord. Ephesians 4, verse 15. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. So the expectation is we're growing, but not just growing the way we want to. We're growing to be more like Christ. We're growing to be more like him. And he is our supreme leader. He is the head of the church. And when we gather here, often we say it, we submit to his lordship as we gather as a church. You know, we've had connections with somebody that's in the New England states and helped us in many ways over the years establish and support Owen Carey. And he tells a story. He was standing at the back of the room one day and people were here in the room, his place in the room, worshiping and praying, and someone came in visiting and sort of stood beside him at the back and said, chatting, said, so who's in charge here? Now, some people might say, well, yeah, it's me, I'm the pastor. No, Owen said, he said a couple of things, but I think, you know, he kind of said, well, you know, God's in charge. I'm not in charge, but if you step out of place, you'll find out who's in charge. But you know, he didn't put himself forward. Jesus is the head of the church, and that's how we want to be here. When we gather together, nobody's in charge. A few people serve in different ways, but Jesus is the head of this church, and we want to grow into that. We want to grow into that knowledge. We want to grow in every way more and more like him because he's our boss. He's the one that oversees what we're doing here. And he's the one we submit to. So there's an expectation. The second thing, there is an expectation in scripture that we are to grow. And the third one, we're to grow corporately as well as individually. So really that second one is about me as an individual, my relationship with Jesus, my growing in the kingdom. But there's also an expectation of a corporate growing in the scripture, and it's about building the temple. Ephesians 2 verse 21 tells us, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. Now, I can assure you, in the 20 or so years, 22 years that we've been in this building, it has not grown. It's got a little bit more dilapidated, but it has not grown. So it must be a different temple we're talking about here. It's not talking about a building that has to grow. It's talking about being fitted together, growing into a holy temple. We are the church. It's the people. We are the temple. It's that growing together in relationship that makes us his holy place where he can abide. That's that corporate growing together. That verse in 21, I've just put it out of a longer passage. And just for a moment, I want to look at the context, because it's important to what we've just experienced recently. You know, dear Marvin passed away just a couple of weeks ago, and we loved him. He was part of this community. He had his own community as a rabbi and Shekinah, Messianic Fellowship. And what we see in these verses is what we were actually experiencing here for that period of time. Let me read a little bit more. I'm going to start back in verse 11 of Ephesians 2. Therefore, remember that previously you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. So he's just sorting out who's who. There's two groups of people here. There's those that are called by God. They call them the circumcision. There's those that are outside that group. They're called the Gentiles or the uncircumcision. So there's two groups of people there. And generally speaking, not everyone here, but generally speaking, we would be considered the Gentiles. Verse 12, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the people of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, I love those but nows. Remember, last year I did a morning on buts. You know, God's but now. He often says, but now. You know, this is what it looks like, but this is really what it is. This is what's happened now. This is what's changed. So here's one of those but nows. But now in Christ Jesus, you who previously were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's us. Jesus' death on the cross, his sacrifice where he shed his blood, allowed us to be brought near, to be brought in. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups, Jews and Gentiles, into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the hostility, which is the law composed of commandments expressed in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two one new person, in this way establishing peace, and that he might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being filled together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Amen. Lots of stuff. I love Ephesians. You can spend you know, days on one verse, one word. And one of my favorite preachers and authors is Martin Lloyd-Jones. And some of his books, you can get his books. It fills a bookshelf just on Ephesians. And there's like 10 books. And there's one or two chapters on one word. There's so much in Scripture that we can feed on. But just briefly, without getting down into all of the weeds of what the argument is here, he's essentially saying in Jesus, there is one new man. Jew and Gentile. We're all one. Gentiles, the non-Jew, has been grafted in. And with Marvin and with Shekinah, you know, and the few here that represent Shekinah, we have become one. We've grown into over the years. One of the great things about this church that I've always liked is, and that's not because I do it, it's because other people have done it, but is that desire to be one with God's people and to bless God's people. And we've done many things over the years in that relationship with that intent. But with Marvin, some miraculous story of events, you know, caused Marvin to show up here one Sunday morning. And connection through Chuck, they met somewhere and he came in. And the first week we saw him, everyone thought, who's that? Never seen him before. Yeah, he had this massive beard then, and he had his little thingy on his head. And, you know, but we loved him because he was one of God's people. And over the years, it grew into one new man, where Saturdays, Shekinah Messianic Fellowship met. Sundays, West Ottawa Community Church met. But the whole weekend was about the people of God praising and raising up the name of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Unfortunately, and this isn't to be critical, but unfortunately, in a lot of churches, that's not understood. You know, I'm now the church. We don't need the Jews anymore. That's not true. So growing in this understanding, growing corporately, so we may be the temple made up of one new man, the relationships. That's what that passage is really drawing us into, in whom, so the verse that I poured out, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple. So that building isn't this building. It's the building of relationships. It's the building of our community. It's the building of what God is doing in our lives to make us the temple. The temple is where God dwells. It's his presence that makes us the temple. In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Amen. Those are amazing, amazing words. And we just need to feed on those and grow into that understanding. Then number four, you must grow and be empowered in the gifts that you have. Not the gifts that you want. There's lots of gifts you can read in Romans and Corinthians. Paul lists off different gifts, that Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father, and there's different types of gifts, different things. So we've done all that before. I won't do it again this morning. Just understand God has provided gifts for his people so his church can grow and be powerful and be effective. And like man does, we created a way of, you know, assessing what your gift is instead of seeing what you do. There's tests and there's this and there's that you can do. And, you know, again, they have value. I'm not saying it's wrong. We've all probably done a gift test over the years. But if you're really smart or you know the system, you can answer the questions right so you get the gift you want. Am I the only one that does that? You look at that and think, oh, that answer's about check. I'm a B on that one. No, God has given us gifts. It's got to be the gift that God has given us. Jesus has given ministry gifts to everyone. To some, and these are the fivefold ministries, they are responsible for seeing it effective in the church, but it doesn't mean they're responsible for doing it all. You know, you here are, you know, teachers, prophets, priests, and the others. Just seeing if you can remember. But the other thing to remember with gifts is you receive a gift. You don't generate it. You don't create it. You receive a gift. But what I like to look at when we're talking about gifts is very much in parallel with gifts are fruits, the fruit of the Spirit. And we see that in Galatians. We see gifts in say, Romans and Corinthians, different places. And we must remember we receive gifts, but we grow our fruits. All right? And that growth needs to be in the gifting that God has given us. Otherwise, we're growing something that God didn't intend us to be in. And that is a sad place to be. You might make yourself a very well-respected prophetic person. But if you're not really speaking the word of the Lord, it's your educated idea or something quoted from scripture, then you're not growing in what God has given you. We must grow in the gifts. And I believe, and I'm sure, if you're saved, you're walking with the Lord, then you have a gift. I can guarantee that. If you don't know how God has gifted you for the church, for the kingdom, then you need to get on your knees before the Lord and say, Father, I need to know, you know, I want to receive this gift properly. Please show me what it is. And grow by exercising the gift that we receive freely. So then in that growth, we see fruit come forward. And it's the fruit that shows the church and the world and us ourselves that the gift is effective and being used. When we come to fruit, I like Galatians 5. That's the list of the fruits of the Spirit. And some people can list them all off. I try to, and then it goes vague in the middle sometimes. But it's in the book. I've got it in the book. And I can read it when I want. But Galatians 5, verse 16 to 25. I like to read it in the Passion Translation. You know, there's many translations of the Bible, and some are good, some are not so good. Some are very accurate to the original language. Some are more vernacular or modern, and they all have a place to play. And really, if you want to get a sense of scripture, read it in 4, 5, 6 different translations. These days, you don't even have to go and buy the Bibles. You can have it on your phone or your iPad or whatever, electronically, and you can have them all side by side and see what happens. So what the Passion Translation does, it often adds words to it to explain what the Greek word was trying to tell you or some of the extended meaning around the Greek word that was used. So this is how it puts it in Galatians 5. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you, and that's important. I don't generate the fruit. I grow by the fruit being produced in me by the Holy Spirit. Is divine love in all its varied expressions. So the fruit is all about expressing love. And the fruit is coming from us growing and exercising the gifts that we've freely received. So you see now this process that the Spirit is working in us. And then he lists those, and we usually say joy, peace, patience, kindness, and ramble them off. But what the Passion does, it adds a little bit extra, just to emphasize what the word means. Joy that overflows. Peace that subdues. Patience that endures. Kindness in action. A life full of virtue. Faith that prevails. Gentleness of heart and strength of spirit. That's the fruit that we can expect in our lives as we grow. Don't stay as a budded branch. Don't stay as just some green leaves. Don't even stay at the blossom, which is beautiful and scented, but produce the fruit. And these are the fruits that scripture tells us will come out of our lives as we experience divine love produced by the Holy Spirit. And he concludes that by saying, never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. These qualities are limitless. That's where we're at. And that's what we're doing. So there are, you know, four ways we can look at growing. And these are all important to us. The word can be taken individually. I'm not saying everyone here is going to have the word grow for this year. Ask the Lord, what is he saying to you for this year? I'm going to focus on that a little bit in my life. I'm still growing into that uniform God gave me. And I want to become better. I want to become more mature. I want to have more fruit. I want to see his kingdom come. But corporately, we need to grow as well. And a few people shared last week as we celebrated Marvin. It's recognized that, you know, go back a year, and most of us never knew each other. And over the year, especially around the Easter time and Passover, more and more came, and the Lord brought people in. And we're, you know, if you know about groups that, you know, you get the norming, storming, forming process, you know, or the other way around. It takes a while to build relationships. And there's maybe people in the room, and not many here today, or maybe on Zoom. I've never spoken to them yet. We need to grow into the relationship of coming together, finding out about each other. And the Lord wants to do that. A while back, Chuck mentioned something. It was in an email, I think, about growing. And at that point, I was already thinking about this, and we'd put the verse on the website. And when he said it, just struck me. I had this picture. And you know, growing is really two things. There's two aspects to growing. One is quantity. And often when we talk about something growing, an organization growing, a church growing, we talk about, they're really growing. They've now got 2,000 people. They're really growing. They've now got 10,000 people. But that's growing just in a numeric number of people that show up. That's important. But also we need to think about, are they growing in spirit? Are they growing in their fruit? Are they growing in maturity? You could still have 50 people in the room, but you've grown so much more since last year. And the picture was, you could either have, you know, a bunch of grapes with lots of little grapes on it, or you could have a bunch of grapes with some fat, juicy grapes on it. And we want a lot, but we want them to be fat and juicy as well. Not saying you're fat and juicy. That must be me. Have you ever been called fat and juicy in church before? So growth is many ways. Don't just think about more people coming. Let's think about, how do I mature in my relationships so that God can build this temple here at West Sodor Community Church. Some practical ways we can grow, just to wrap it up. One way, we've mentioned it already. It's been in the emails that Chuck's sending out. Prayer, 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 prayer. The best way to grow is to have a conversation with your Father. Make prayer a conversation. Talk to God. Listen to God. Don't just list off a whole load of, I need it, need. Okay, bye. It's, hey, Dad, how are you doing today? I'm having a good day. Oh, it's also good for me today, but let's chat about it. You can help me. So let's have a conversation with the Father. And I'm not belittling prayer, because I think it's really, really important. But we sometimes make it too mechanical. It's a conversation with your Father. The second way we can grow is in worship. I believe worship is really, really important. Now, most times when people say worship, they mean singing songs, or that's the picture that's conjured up. And for sure, that's a really important part. But worship is bigger than that. Yeah, everything we've done here this morning in the name of the Lord and under his authority is worship. But there is an element of intimacy in worship when we sing to the Lord. I don't know if you've ever had anyone sing to you, but there's a sense of intimacy happening when you sing. It causes us to focus. When we're worshiping, we're worshiping the Lamb upon the throne, the Holy One. We're joining with that heavenly host. You know, how many are there around the throne in heaven singing God's praises? One, two, maybe the 12 disciples are there. No, it's unnumbered, myriads upon myriads, it says. And when we worship him in that way and we sing holy, 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 or say it, or however we want to, you don't have to sing. We're just declaring his holiness. We're declaring his worth. We're declaring who he is and where he is right now. And it causes us to focus on him and him alone. And if you do use songs, sometimes we just put a song on while we're working, while we're doing stuff. So it's a little bit like Chuck was saying, pray continually as you do things. Well, one way of keeping focus is have some worship music playing. And choose stuff, though, that uses phrases like, hallelujah, you are holy. We glorify your name. It's things that are declaring who he is and where he is and what he is. Sometimes, and there's nothing wrong with all the different music that's around, but sometimes we get bogged down looking at what's wrong with my life. Oh dear, I'm such a sinner. La, la, la. And we need to get, Lord, you are victorious. We worship you, Jesus, Lamb upon the throne. Third way, Bible reading. Said it already. The way to grow in knowledge, as one of the passages put it, knowledge of the holy, knowledge of God, is through reading the Bible. Get into it, get into it, get into it. I challenge you this year, double whatever you're doing at the moment. Now, that's easy if you're only doing 1 minute a day. But double is double, and that's a challenge. A little harder if you're doing 10 minutes a day, that now becomes 20. But let's get more time in reading scriptures. I guarantee, and I can guarantee this not because I'm a slimy salesman, I can guarantee this because it says it in the Bible. I guarantee you will grow if you spend time reading the Bible. And not just read it, blah, 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 got through those five chapters of Job, which is where, if you're reading through the Bible in 1 year, roughly there right now. But stop. And as you read, you think, oh, that sounds familiar to something else. I wonder what that means. Where else? And start allowing, go down some channels, get down some rabbit holes with the Lord as you read the Bible. Feed yourself with the declaration of God in the written, inspired word. We believe in the Bible. We believe it's God's word. We believe it's inerrant. We believe it's inspired. That's our position as a church. We also believe we should read it, because you can believe all that and never touch it. So get feeding and growing. Connecting together, different small groups, different prayer times, connect with others and share what Lord's doing. Pray with each other. And in giving our resources, giving our time, we grow as we serve. And Chuck had the board going around this morning of some opportunities. There's many other things happening. And we can also give just through our resources, our money. Now, sometimes people ask me, how do you give at this church? Did they forget to pass around the offering plate? We don't do that. The Lord provides, but there are boxes on the back wall. If you want to give and bless the Lord, you want to share your resources in kingdom work, then you can put your money. There's an envelope on the side. You can put an offering in the box. But that's between you and the Lord. He provides, but we grow as we support. We grow as we get connected. We grow as we commit to what's happening within the community, especially here at West Ottawa Community Church. So a few practical things that we can take and apply to our lives so we can see growth. So I challenge you to grow this year. There's a couple of negatives. You know, it's interesting when you start looking at a word through scripture, like Grow, you can just type it into any search engine that has a Bible and it'll pop up. It's really, really nice. But there's some negative growing that I really don't want you to do.
What?
You're probably all thinking it already. You know, in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13, Paul writes, "But as for you, brothers and sisters, do not grow weary of doing good." We can. It wouldn't be there if it wasn't possible. We can grow weary in our serving. We can grow weary in doing good. We can grow weary in these ways of getting connected with the Lord. And I tell you, the more we're determined to grow in the Spirit, the greater the challenge is from the enemy, from Satan, to distract us. And when we've been distracted, oh, I'm a little too tired to read my Bible. I'll pray till I go to sleep on my bed. You know, don't grow weary in doing good. Galatians 6:9 also tells us, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So there is a promise at the end. There's a promise at the end of us growing. There's a promise at the end of us, you know, tending the plant as it grows to get to the fruit. And that promise is we will reap. Because the fruit doesn't just stay on the branch and rot. The farmer comes along and harvests the fruit. They take the apples off the tree. They take the corn off the stem. And they give it to others to feed. So we will bear fruit. Don't grow weary, but grow in the presence of the Lord. So just to wrap up, and I'm going to pray, and then we have one last song. And as we go through that song, just be listening to the Holy Spirit. What's he saying to you today? It's not what I'm saying to you. I mean, if God wants to speak to you and get your attention, you don't need someone at the front. But sometimes it helps us focus a little bit. But listen to what Spirit is saying to you right now. And then when we sing that last song, use it as a prayer. Use it as a way of dedication. Use it as a way of commitment to Father. He's shown us that this year he wants WOCC to grow. That's probably not unrealistic for any church in the city. But that's a word that is made apparent to us. And so we want to be purposeful in some of this growing, you know, practice. And as children of God, we are expected to grow. The Bible expects us to be growing. And there are things we can do that allow us to grow. So keep those things in mind. Father, we thank you that you bring life, and life brings growth, and growth brings fruit. So Lord, this morning we bow before you, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to reveal to us the things that are important in our lives right now, that we might move into them, that we might move away from something that's detrimental to growth, that we might pick up something that will empower our growth. But Lord, most of all, this morning, we give you the glory. We recognize, Jesus, that you're head of this church, and we submit to your lordship. And we ask you, Lord, to feed us now, that we might grow in your kingdom, grow in your Spirit, to the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. So perhaps, Roland, you could set up and play that tune. Let's stand together. I know they're comfortable seats, but sometimes standing just gets us to stretch a little bit, makes us a little more purposeful as we stand before the King of Kings. Thanks.
They cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." The prayer and worship and that are going to make us into people that will be worshiping the Lord. This is practice. We continue practicing until we see him face to face. God bless you. Have a good afternoon. I believe there's coffee at the back. And say hello to somebody. And keep praying for the people up on the hill, that God's peace and grace will be there. And he'll move hearts and lives.